Shalom everyone, this is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com, on the Land of Israel Network. What another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning we have here in the Judean Hills. And I'm blessed, from the bottom of my heart, I mean this, I'm blessed to the opportunity to share my heart, to hear a little bit of my friends' hearts as well, as we delve into the weekly Torah portion. And not just the weekly Torah portion, but also some monumental dates that are taking place in the Jewish calendar this coming week, which is a very, very special time. But before we get into that, let's greet all of us, Am Yisrael, the world's two great, great friends, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz and Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel. Jeremy, it's been quite some time.
It's been a month.
It's
4 weeks, 4 weeks.
That just shows you how much you mean to me, because it feels like 3.5 years. So
it was quite a summer.
You still have the stench of the exile on you.
Yeah, I really need to go to the mikveh. I haven't made it there yet.
Oh my God,
put that microphone down right now.
I shouldn't be allowed on this program without the mikveh.
Weren't you going to dig a mikveh in your front yard?
I'm working on it. That's going
to
take a while.
To me, you are a mikveh. And Rabbi Ari Abramowitz.
Good to be here with you.
Oh, great to be here. It's been quite a summer. And you should feel privileged to be joining us again, Jeremy.
I am beyond privileged.
Ari and I have been flying.
I've been listening. I know. It's been awesome.
You haven't been listening.
Every single show.
Really?
Every single one.
What did I say about your father last week?
That he is one of the greats of the generation.
He listened.
Amnon.
Just for those confused people out there, that conversation never happened. You don't need to go back and listen to that show.
What a beautiful week this is. I could hear, as we're approaching the month of Elul, which is this coming Shabbos, is the Rosh Chodesh, the new month of Elul, which is the last month in the Jewish calendar before we coronate the king and bring in Rosh Hashanah in the new year. I grew up in the house of music. My father is a chazan. My father is a cantor. So the melodies of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are edged in the heart all year long, but specifically as Elul approaches, just that melody, you know, those few notes that welcome in, ushering in the crowning of the king the first night of the year, they really, they put a lot of excitement and trembling and awe in my psyche, in my heart, and I can't help but think that I'm sure the whole world is up for such a change, that we're up for such a renewal, for such a refreshing moment of God's oneness in the world. So I hope, please God, that today's words will be this ushering in of the last month, where we really, it's called the transition month, this month of Elul, which begins this Shabbos, this Saturday. This is really a transition month going into the new. And whenever we say goodbye to something, we're kind of nervous because we don't know if we'll still have that which we had. But we're also excited because we hopefully will have that which we don't have yet. So what do you do when you're stuck in not, you know, making sure you don't have any more what you once had and you don't know what's going to be tomorrow? So I don't know if you guys ever noticed this. I put a signature on my email 5 years ago, the bottom of all my emails. It says on it, yesterday doesn't exist. Tomorrow's not here yet. All you have is, and then just three dots, right? And then I leave it open to whoever reads that to fill in the blank. But our parsha, our portion of the week, actually fills in the blank for that, for my signature of the email. Because the first pasuk, the phrase, the first sentence in our parsha is, Re'e anochi noten lifnechem hayom. What is God giving you today? Please see. Image, actually, it talks about Re'e, to visualize. Re'e anochi noten lifnechem hayom. All that God gives you is today. When you realize that that's what God gives you right now, and that yesterday doesn't exist and tomorrow's not here yet, then you have a bracha, a blessing. And when you don't realize that, but you're stuck in what was, or you're nervous about what will be, then you have a klala. Then you have a curse.
Well, what a way to read that pasuk.
Right. It's different than the way people normally
read.
Yeah.
I love that. When nothing changes, no commentary, it's just a different reading, a different spacing.
Right.
It's like, Zeh hayom asah Hashem nagila v'nismecha bo. Like, this is the day.
That's it.
Like the message.
Re'e anochi noten lifnechem hayom. Behold, check it out, Am Yisrael, people of the world. Visualize me. Visualize me giving you something. What am I giving you today? Friends, wherever you are in the world, whether you're in Oklahoma, whether you're in Wyoming, whether you're in Manchester, whether you're in Cape Town, whether you're in Zimbabwe, whether you're in Tel Aviv, whether you're in Efrat, we might be in different places, but we're receiving the same gift, which is very, very interesting. And that same gift is called Tirei, Hayom. And when I realize that's really all I truly have, then I realize that's all I truly need. And there's no greater blessing than that. So we have to count our days, we have to count our blessings, but we have to count the days, the Hayoms, that take place in our life. Because I don't know about you guys, I so need to work on this. And I mean, I could say a nice teaching right now, and it's as if I mastered it, but I just want to make something very, very clear. I learn most from teachers who teach, I won't say preach, but teach very deep and lofty ideas, and that I could see that they themselves are praying while they're teaching, because they're not there yet either as to where what they're saying. To be able to say that I'm totally one with the gift of today is the greatest blessing in the world, but it's something we're striving for. It's something, you know, we just said you were gone for a month. Ari and I leave on a little journey next week for a few days. I leave again the next week to the States. We're constantly thinking about the planning.
Well, to be fair, you're also currently immersed in a very tomorrow future activity right now, full time, right? You're moving homes. That's very much for the future, and that's your life right now. So I wouldn't judge based on that.
Okay, I hear. I accept that.
It was weird. It was for a month now, we've been traveling around America, right, living on a bus, and there were days where I woke up, I didn't know which state I was in. I didn't know where I was. I looked outside. I see a big sign of Walmart because you can park there for free. And I remember many times out there asking Taylor, what day is it
today?
Totally
disoriented.
Not knowing what day we were in, what date it was, just having no, it was just one giant blur of a time.
Was that a fun feeling?
No, it was kind of disorienting.
Oh, I sort of like that
feeling. No, waking up not knowing what state your country you're in, why I'm in a car. You just wake up, you're so disoriented. And I very much appreciate the idea of now coming back to Israel and having Shabbat. And just like Shabbat is the day that I really feel like I'm able to tap into that Torah, where it's like we're not going anywhere, we're not doing anything. And to sort of like the tefillah that I have is always like try to bring Shabbat in to throughout the week. And I feel like you touched on this a little bit, Ari. When we go to our new headquarters, I really feel like Shabbat there. That there's a time and a place where it's just that time. There's no cell phone reception. There's no internet connection.
No cell phone.
Yet.
I was just there yesterday the entire day, no reception.
So how do you breathe? How do you think?
You know, it took a few hours to like
start thinking again.
Yeah.
Being in touch with your senses again.
Yeah, people are afraid to be with their own thoughts. You have your iPhone with you, you go to the restroom. Oh, I can't go to the restroom, forgot my iPhone. Like, we don't have even a moment to just like be with our thoughts. There's something scary about that, and it was really therapeutic. I felt like just the heat bodhidut, the talking to Hashem that I did there was on another level like I haven't had in a very long time.
Well, I just have to say this. The one thing that kept on creeping up, this all like now connects for me, is that for the last month or so, I barely used my phone. Just my T-Mobile thing is it's a terrible company. There's like half the country is not really under T-Mobile. So if you're out in Texas and Oklahoma, you just don't have reception for days.
Yeah, mental note, AT&T is better.
AT&T is better than T-Mobile. Anyone that wants to rent a phone in America, never
if you're
go
on
to
a
T-Mobile.
Speaking on a tour.
On a tour. Anyway, so I'm with no phone for a long time. And so as I'm thinking, there's no like Facebook scrolling. There's no Twitter following. There's no emails. There's no WhatsApps. There's nothing. And that's a time where you have a chance to re'eh. And last week, Talishma. Because if we're so busy constantly getting this like stimulation from our phones and from our computers, it's hard to actually see the day or see anything or hear anything. And I feel like the Torah, last week's Torah portion and this week's Torah portion is saying like Tishme'u ver'u'u, like just listen and see. And if we're so stimulated all the time with our cell phones, there's just no room for that. And I feel like not just Shabbat, but throughout the week, there needs to be hours throughout our day where the phone is just off. Off, off.
Yeah, the word is stimulated, by the way. Go ahead, Shlomo.
Thank you.
In light of that, I want to now relearn the first pasuk again, a little bit differently, based on things you both said, but mainly about, you know, we're not usually with our thoughts. We're not usually with just ourselves. And frankly, most of us are frightened and freaked out to be alone with our own thoughts because we have no idea who's going to show up. And we have no idea if we'll like who's going to show up as well. Well, the pasuk, now let's read it again. Re'e anochi noten lifnechem hayom. You know what I'm giving you, God says? Re'e anochi what am I noten lifnechem hayom? Anochi. I'm giving you back your I, your ani, your anochi. I'm giving, when you are able, when you're committed to being alone with yourself and to just be one with me, God says, I'm giving you back your I, not I, E-I-E-Y-E, my I, the me, the anochi, the me. I'm getting, this is the Shabbos of getting back a sense of who we are. Because if you want to embark on a journey called tshuva, which is what the next month is all about, the journey of, I don't like to say remorse, repenting, or what would be a better word for tshuva?
Return?
Let's call it return. Although in Hebrew, we usually refer to it as a month of fixing sins and transgressions. But what it really is it's a month of returning. Returning to what? To what God had in mind when he thought of creating you. And there's no way that you can be in tune with what God had in mind when he thought of when you were created, if you're not going to be in the Hayom level, in the today place. So again, Re'eh, see, Anochi noten lifnechem Hayom, the who you really are, who what I thought about you when I created you. That's what I'm giving back to you today, if only you let today be today. I know people that have lived, this happens all the time. I know people that have lived 80, 90, 100 years of life in this world, but rarely, if you'd ask them, did they live today? And then I know people that unfortunately, sadly enough, heartbreakingly enough, were taken from the world at such a young age, but gevalt, did they have today's? Did they have their hayoms? So when you have that hayom, and you get a little bit of a taste of what God had in mind, the ani, the me, the little bit of what I had thought about, the individuality of you, of what you had today, you have the biggest bracha in the world. But when the scrolling and the stimulation and the constant need to feed off of what people think, whether it's likes, whether it's smiley faces, whether it's hearts, whether it's hits, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter because you're not living today. Today doesn't exist. Everyone else's days exist. Yours you know, don't.
I remember Ari Weiss, Zichrono Livracha, was killed from Ranana. He was a friend of yours, no?
One of my closest friends.
So his brother, in the video about him, when I was speaking with him, also, he would say that Ari, when he thought of his life, he said it's not how many years he had in his life, because he didn't have many, but it's how much life he had in his years.
Oh, that's deep.
And that's what you're saying. It's about like packing the life in and not finishing school so you can get to college and finishing college so you can get to the job and then so you could retire and then for what?
Correct. And then tshuva. So when I realign myself and say, wait a second, I'm committed to, let's call it, returning from all my transgressions and fixing my sins. What does that essentially mean? Does that mean I just have to stop sinning and fix some midot characteristic traits? I'll never fix everything, but what I could do is I could choose to start living. And I think but this Shabbos, Parashat Re'eh, ushers in the month of Elul. It's a chance for us to decide something. Be very clear. Let's decide that we're going to start living. Even if I was under the illusion that I've been living for a long time, I want to choose that I'm going to start to live. And now I want to just say something from the bottom of my heart to all our listeners. Jeremy, Ari, and I were discussing before we began the recording, that we've been, I wouldn't even say that we're touched. We're overflowed with emotions and gratitude to the reaching out from all our listeners that have been sharing, not just saying nice things about our programming, but every email comes with their own personal story of what they're going through. And it's an incredible thing where you feel like people you'd never met before, but because they're listening to something and they're letting it go into their heart, people are open enough, they're vulnerable enough to share the need that they want to start living as well. And if we could all, we all have grandiose ideas to change the world. That's great when we're going to change the world. And in fact, we probably are changing the world. But if we as a community, as a what would you call it, an online community, a cyber community of spiritual listeners, choose that no matter what was yesterday and forgetting about what will be tomorrow, that I'm choosing to live today. And imagine that each of us will get a glimpse of what God had in mind when he thought of creating us. The bracha, which actually the word in Hebrew for blessing is bracha, is connected to the word brecha, which is a pool. We'll all be swimming in the same pool of life. And we'll all be teaching each other how to swim. We'll just be basking in what God had in mind for all of us as individuals and all of us as a community as well. But that's what this parsha is all about. And that's what tshuva really, really is. It's returning not just to before I became dirty and started sinning. It's returning to what God had in mind, not just what I had in mind for myself.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you're talking, you brought up a Torah that Rav Daniel taught us. This is right around Elul time, and that Elul is the month of Rachamim, and Rachamim is usually translated in English as mercy, but Rav David Zeller said that it's for Lashon Rechem, which means womb, which means it's really a time of growth before the birth of the new year. And he says, well, how do I know what God originally intended for me? If we're meant to be in the day, and in that day we're supposed to connect to the Anochi, what God had first intended, how do we tap into that? And so Rav Daniel, the Rav of Bat Ayin, who Ari and I learn with, said that it happens all the time. We connect with that original idea of what God had intended with us without even knowing it sometimes. Sometimes you'll walk around and be like, oh, Jeremy, why did you do that? Who is Jeremy, and who is Jeremy talking to? And he says that that is Jeremy actually connecting to the Anochi of, like, Olam HaZeh Jeremy, in this world Jeremy is talking to Olam HaBa Jeremy. The Olam HaBa Jeremy, which could be called the true self, the higher self, in Chassidut they would call it Mochin de Gadlut or Mochin de Katnud. The Anochi of Olam HaZeh and Anochi of Olam HaBa, the eye of this world and the eye of the next world. When we have that internal conversation with ourselves, that can only happen if we're not on our phones. And that can only happen if we're actually in today as today. But when we enter into that internal dialogue of, hey, Jeremy, is this really what you want to be doing? Is this really where you want to be? That conversation that you're having with yourself is actually tapping into the Anochi that Hashem has given you in this week's Parsha. And so I really feel like it all like connects that if this was a month of Rachamim, a month of growth, it's in between the Ani of Olam HaZeh, the eye of this world, and the Anochi of Olam HaBa. And that space is the place of Rachamim, is the place of growth. And the more we tap into that internal dialogue, then the more growth and birthing we will have as we enter into the new year.
If I could ask you, when you started singing just now, Shlomo, the Elul Niggun.
It immediately hit me. Holiday.
Yeah, it hit me also. And it brings back this swirl of emotions. It's difficult for me to encapsulate what it is, but one of them is, it's sad for me, but a little bit of anxiety. Anxiety like this feeling like, how do I make the most of Elul? What should I be reading? What should I be doing? Let me start cramming. And I start cramming like it's for a final. Yeah. And then after Yom Kippur, it's that feeling where I just like take all the final notes and whatever, just like toss it. Not really, but there's an element of truth to that. You know, Jeremy's talking about Elul Rachamim and Rechem and compassion. And I'm thinking, well, one thing I could start doing is really focusing, making sure that I'm living a compassionate life to other people, because God judges us as we judge others. But right. But is there a better, more comprehensive, systematic approach, or just your approach to Elul and going into it with a little bit of serenity? How do you do that?
My approach shifted about 5 years ago when I saw something written by the Alter Rebbe, who was the founder of the Chabad Hasidic dynasty, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi. And in his magnum opus called Tanya, one of the chapters, one of the sections there is called Igeret HaTshuva, which is, how would you say Igeret? Not the letter.
Epistle?
Epistle, that's true.
That's a letter. But it's a letter.
But it's a letter. Right. An official letter.
An official letter of tshuva that he wrote out to all his followers.
We would call it a press release today. A spiritual press release.
No, that's what it was. A spiritual press release. Where he told his chassidim, it's almost like he was answering the question that you just asked, that his chassidim were asking him, his followers were asking him, how do we really approach this time without the need to cram, but just to be real with it? So he said the following statement. He said, "Begin the first steps of this tshuva process and going towards the new year is the decision that each person must make, that they're deciding to have compassion on their own neshamas. Go out to a forest and contemplate what that means for a few hours. What would it mean that if we would decide, if we would internalize that, what would that mean? What's the result of a thought like that? What does it mean to have compassion on your own soul?
I guess it would mean doing things that feed the soul.
And that's
also
why
the... Also, not judging yourself so harshly. Ari, you judge yourself very harshly.
It's getting better. It really is getting better.
I actually think that he should. It's okay. I think that when you have compassion on your own soul, you let yourself live today. I've been working with this for weeks now. That's why I'm so into this zone of I keep on coming back to it. Because I realize that... We want to accomplish so much and we often do, but it doesn't really feed our neshama. It doesn't fulfill us. It's like we do all these things that we set out to do, but it doesn't really fulfill us. So checklist, it's working. We're filling it in. It's great, but I don't feel like having compassion on your own soul is letting yourself live today and saying, look, I know I have payments tomorrow. I know I have all these different things that are due in by a certain time. And I know that even if I do them, I still won't feel fulfilled. So what will fulfill me? Letting God be God. And that means letting myself be myself, which means what? Letting today just be today. Being committed to today. And I think that there's another pasuk in the later on in the parsha which discusses the fruits of such a mindset. The pasuk says, Ki yirchiv Hashem Elokecha lecha et gvulcha. You know what will happen? God will widen your borders. Meaning that which you thought about yourself will suddenly become widened. More and more wide. That which you think you can accomplish in this world spiritually will become widened. And I think that, to me, that's the greatest result of a hayom consciousness.
And I'll tell you, just to take that perhaps a step further or pivot in a different direction, the movie you sent me, you recommended two things. One of them I would take back having watched, which is The People versus O.J. Simpson. I didn't realize it was a 10-part series. but the other one was Defending Your Life. And I really enjoyed it. It was a short little movie about this guy that dies and he's in court for his soul, where if he has to go back down or if he gets to proceed. And it was all about, are you afraid? He was afraid here. He was afraid there. He acted on his fears. And one of the things, the reason I thought it was so deep and beautiful is because that really is one of the cardinal sins I'm starting to realize. And when you're living today for today, That's a big part of it, is just having the time to turn off your phone, like Jeremy said, and just say, what am I experiencing right now? Where is the fear there? And doing the work of rooting out the fear, contending with what the fear is about, and letting that go. And that's about living today and today, is literally letting the fears out. There was something further I wanted to say about that.
Oh, highly recommended, though. Defending Your Life, Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. I never recommend movies, but this one was actually recommended to me by someone whose birthday was yesterday. A great person, Rabbi Zalman Schachter, actually. He's the one that I found out about the movie from him. He passed away about two, three years ago. But he had recommended that movie. It's just an incredible, incredible thing to watch. I highly recommend
it. I remember the extra step I was going to take. It was, you said, when you live today, it just opens up, right?
Right.
What were the words you used? It
Yerchiv Gvulecha. It's talking about expanding the borders of Israel. It's so beautiful how Shlomo said, no, that's not just talking about the borders of Israel, but our own personal
our
borders
own personal
boundaries
borders,
that we
because
put on
my
ourselves.
Personal experience is that when I really am able to have even little moments, just a moment of really letting all fear go, all of a sudden the opportunities all around me are illuminated. And I'm like, wow, I could do all of these different things right now, which were all suppressed and limited in my perception. It just, fear limits your perception. And when you let that go, yarchiv gvulecha, on like a geographical scale, and also on a personal, emotional scale as far as serving Hashem and living and being happy.
You can't give that over until you actually have lived it. It's not something you could explain to anybody unless you've actually been there. It's true. I feel the same thing when I really just, again, go back to that place of returning of the tshuva, and I do let go of all the fears. And I remember, wait a second, I've been scared so many times in my life about falling, about failing. And how many times did I come out of it alive? Not just alive, even greater. So when I go back to that place, I suddenly, I call out to you from the narrowness of the world, God, but I let myself let go of all of it, and I feel answered with the merchav, with this widening, which is really what Eretz Yisrael is all about, this tiny piece of land. This is the land of today, the land of living today, when we let Israel, Eretz Yisrael, be what it is, which is the land of mamish today, of right now. It becomes wider and wider, and perhaps that's what it might mean when it says that one day the land, the borders of the land of Israel, will expand to the four corners of the world. That consciousness of that living in the now is what this land is all about. That will expand all over the world, please God.
I'll tell you, in this week's Parsha, I want to talk about this with Jeremy a little bit, but it says that when we go into the land, it says something that I think clashes with a lot of our Western perceptions of what is good and bad. It says, destroy their idolatrous places, knock them down. But it's interesting that that's not the law for, it's not like we're ISIS that need to do that around the world. They go and destroy everybody. It's only within the land of Israel. because this land is supposed to illuminate the underlying unity of all creation. And these idolatrous places express duality and multiplicity. And it can't tolerate, because this needs to be the epicenter where that unity goes out and proliferates throughout the world, which eventually when Mashiach comes, like you said, the borders of Israel will extend to all four corners of the world, because that's what it means. It's the unity, knowledge of God will cover the earth.
Correct. So I want to end off. I want to bring this all home and end off something really, really strong. And I think this will help us get, like, realign ourselves and tune into that again. I would love to be able to just let go and live in the now. Well, here's a little tip how to live in the now. Last Shabbos, last portion of the week, we read, Ki eretz asher enei Hashem Elokecha ba mereshita eretz asher doresh tatamid enei Hashem Elokecha ba mereshita shana vaad acharit shana. It says that the land of Israel is a land that God's eyes are constantly on, constantly gazing. So the first Rebbe of Karlin that came to Eretz Yisrael was Rebbe Elimelech of Karlin. I don't remember exactly what year he came here, but I do know that it was before planes, because, or maybe it was before planes were more popular, because when he finally arrived in the port in Jaffa after a very long journey, so his followers put him into a, I believe it was a car, and they started journeying from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, which everyone knows, today you could do it in half hour, you know, maybe 35 minutes, 40 minutes, but back then I'm sure it took a number of hours. And the Hasidim saw their elderly Rebbe gazing outside the window, looking out the window, couldn't take his eyes off the window. And they kept on telling him, Rebbe, gei shlufin, in Yiddish, take a little shluf, take a little sleep. It's a long trip, we'll be there soon. Take a little rest. He says, are you guys crazy? I don't know if he said it, you guys crazy, but he said
your mama's my sugar.
He said, all my life I lived in a land that I don't know who was looking at the land that I was living in. I'm finally in the land that God is looking at day and night, and I'm going to take my eyes off of what God is looking at.
Wow.
That's the Hayom. Like right now, friends, visualize this. The three of us are sitting right now in our studios here, our current studios, in the Judean Hills here, in Neve Daniel. And we're looking out at these gorgeous mountains and valleys. We're looking right now at exactly what God is looking at right now. Do we need anything else? This is the blessing of Hayom. This is the blessing of today. This is the blessing of Harchavat Gvul, of your borders becoming more widened. I bless us all to tune into the blessings and the gifts that are available to us right now at this moment. And I bless us all to have a very smooth entry into the transition month of the month of Elul. And once again, from the bottom of our hearts, we're constantly, constantly getting the most incredible, incredible feedback and the sharing of the most warmest of stories. You could reach me, Shlomo, at thelandofisrael.com, and you can contact me there and share with me there, and go to shlomokatz.com for a bunch of other teachings and music and videos and whatnot. And Ari at the land of Israel.com, Jeremy at the land of Israel.com. let's keep this real, let's keep this today, and let's keep this now.
Also, just to let all of you know, I'm going on a speaking tour coming soon. We're going to be setting up speaking tours for all of our hosts and really getting the word out, not only on the network itself, but to the four corners of the earth. So if you would like to bring me or one of our hosts out, you let us know. Write to speaking@thelandofisrael.com, and we'll set that up. Also, rate the program. If you're on iTunes, go to rate it. That's great. We love you all very much. Shalom from the hills of Judea.
Rabbi Isaac Nissenbaum, one of the founders of the religious Zionist Mizrahi movement, wrote, "The objective of Mizrahi is the total revival of our nation in all its aspects, to revive Judaism in our hearts and to revive our hearts for Judaism. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement."
Have you ever planted a grapevine? What if the grapevine happened to be in the Land of Israel? Not only that, but if you were a Christian planting this grapevine in the mountains of Israel, you would be fulfilling prophecy that Isaiah and Jeremiah foretold more than 3,000 years ago. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to fulfill prophecy on the mountains of Israel by joining us this harvest. Go to hayuvel.com. That's H-A-Y-O-V-E-L.com for more information.